Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Hello and a very good afternoon to you. It's a brand new day on Friday's edition of Spectrum. My name is Lukom Gwedi Puti and I am absolutely thrilled to be spending yet another afternoon with you. Aren't I blessed to be closing off yet an amazing week with you, as a lot of us are actually closing off. I'm saying us because, hey, us. But anyway, I'm still going to be here with you throughout the festive season. But if you're driving home this afternoon, if you're driving wherever and you've just closed off work, it's a time for you to rest and just, you know, go back and recuperate for the new year of 2026. I'm really happy for you and I just want to say congratulations. You've completed 2025's work. I really hope you did it in good spirits. And as we start off this afternoon, I think let me put this music off so I can have a more serious and productive conversation, because I'm not starting this conversation alone this afternoon. And I must say, I am actually blessed in a sense that I'm not alone right now, because I am talking about something that's quite close to my heart as well. And I'll tell you why it's close to my heart, because it's focusing on the elderly people. I think it's fair to say my parents are now elderly, because my dad is 67, right? Yes, my mom is 64. They're long retired and they're sitting at home and trying to find things to do. So this afternoon from Gauteng Age in Action, I have with me Dr. Nixon Sibanda. Dr. Nixon, good afternoon and welcome to Radio Pulpit.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Limko. Really excited to be here in the studio.
Lovely to have you with me. As you can sense the smile in my face, Dr. Sibanda, look, I am a child of elderly parents. I never thought I'd be at a point where I'd say my parents are elderly. I'm 34, but yes, both my parents are now elderly, actually. Mm-hmm. And you're coming from Gauteng Age in Action. I think before we speak of the programs that you do in full, just in brief, tell us who Gauteng Age in Action is. I'm not going to lie to you. I was shocked to hear how old you guys are. And I'm hearing about you guys for the first time this time around.
No, thank you so much. One of the issues that is quite interesting, I come from Age in Action. I sit on the board as the chair. I'm excited just to come and be able to share with what we're doing. What we had done as a board, we had looked at how can we be able to talk, particularly with the just recently passed 16 days activism against elderly and women abuse. And we wanted to run a campaign that was going to be able to activate and make people aware of who Age in Action is. Mm. Age in Action has been an organization that was started in 1956 that looks at the affairs of the elderly people. It looks at active aging. We've been around for many years. I know there are many people that are on the block now that have been in for a few years, but we are 70 years. We launched 1956. We started many programs, including like old age homes, and we were custodians of the elderly for many, many years. Mm. But in 2016, then we split work in provinces, and we are mainly funded by DSD, Department of Social Development, and we look at the elderly, we look at the plight of the elderly from across the region, but particularly here in Gauteng, we are operating in all the five regions. We're in Johannesburg, we're in Ekurhuleni, we're in Sedibeng, we're in Tshwane, and we're in West Rand. Mm-hmm. And in all these regions, we have representatives of coordinators that work with the programs, and also we've got adopters that work on the programs. We've got approximately 12 people per region that are working on the region, and our organization has about 73 people on staff.
Okay, and let's get a mental picture of who you guys are exactly. Are you guys an old age home or an organization that supports old age homes?
We are an organization that supports elderly people right across the stuff. We don't run old age homes. We work sometimes with people that are in old age homes, but we work with people that have got issues of the elderly or we deal with active aging. We have got different programs. Number one, we've got what we call luncheons, whereby we say elderly people can be able to come together and spend time. Sometimes you get elderly people that retire and then there's nothing to do. They just have to sit and watch Generations or any other television show or on television, but then their lives waste away. And they feel that their purpose is wasting away. So all what we do is that we simply say, let's connect them, let them have active aging. It's not only the indigenous people, people that are poor that are on the programs.
Mm.
We also have to call people that were well-to-do in society, that were active professionals.
Yeah.
But now they are... they've gone into the elderly space, and what then do they do? How then do they connect?
Exactly.
How do they manage to become active living in their old age?
Last week I was actually home in the Eastern Cape, and I was applauding my mom for something beautiful that I've seen them do. During my dad's working days, he never wanted much to do with church. But in his older ages, trust me, my dad has gone full on to church. And I said to my mom, I actually applaud it because both of them are very active at their church. They are, do you call them Wesleyans or Methodists? Yes.
Mm.
And they literally spend their weeks and weekends, you know, with church activities and stuff. And I said to my parents, I was worried. I mean, my mom is a retired teacher. My dad is a retired cop. And I was like, what are you guys going to sit at home and do after retirement? My mom couldn't wait. So it's really been beautiful to watch it. And with that having been said, Dr. Sibanda, are you guys active only in Gauteng, or is it across the 9 provinces? Or are you still looking to tap ground in other provinces?
Like as I said, our organization next year was celebrating 70 years.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a programs of action that are going to be done nationally. We're a national organization.
Okay.
Our head office is in Cape Town. But because of different work, we were devolved in 2016 to work in provinces.
Mm-hmm.
But there's age in action in every province.
Okay.
If they go to our website, they'll find stuff, they'll find information. If they look for age in action, they'll find the national office, and they'll be able to know exactly what we're doing. And they can be able to connect from wherever they are in their provinces. There is a genetic presence, because we are one of the biggest organizations that deals with the elderly issues.
We're going to come back more to this, but you actually made mention of 16 Days of Activism, which literally wrapped up yesterday. What has been your voice as Age in Action with regard to the conversation of GBV, and how have you been of support to the elderly as an organization?
One of the programs that we do have is what we call K-Line. K-Line is a 24-hour contact center whereby people can be able to call and report. It's an 0800 number, but they can also call the office. But also, because of technology, as it moves, we have now a WhatsApp number.
Oh.
They can take photos, they can send videos or any other data.
Wow.
And then in our office, we have got a department that deals with social workers and auxiliary workers that are able to support and take these cases and evaluate them. Then we can be able to refer the cases either to other social workers that are near them, or we can take the cases and refer them and send them to police or to court if it needs be. In the other program, we've got a program which is called Adopt a Gogo and Mkhulu, which was started in 2015, working together with Gauteng Men's Forum. We looked and simply said that there are many men in communities, there are many elderly men and women, Gogos and Mkhulus, that are vulnerable. And we said men ought to be able to take responsibility and to be able to work and see how they can be able to become a success and support the elderly so they can adopt those men. So we thought it's not only enough, then we need to do it correctly. Then we have employed people being funded by DSD. We've got 55 adopters that work in the 5 regions. Five per region supported by a coordinator that deals with all these cases that are done for the elderly. And we have done so many cases, and we have got almost 1,200 participants that are on the program at the moment.
Mm. Now, speaking again, while we're on the GBV topic, I was just talking to Dr. Nabutanda yesterday. We're talking about GBV. We were focused on a different population, let me put it that way. But and I think we were more towards women. But like I'm saying, we rarely ever think of abuse or speak about it loudly pertaining to the elderly. It's always women and children. How have you guys found, are elderly people quite abused in South Africa, or is it just a small number, or is it quite a common thing?
It's a concerning thing.
Mm.
I think what I've seen at the moment, looking at the statistics, there was a report that came last 2 weeks back that looked at the city of Johannesburg, and looking at the old age homes, some of them that are in a space of derelict, some of them the elderly people that are there, they are not managed properly. Mm. Some almost 17% of them only pay rent, which they can be able to afford. So the services and stuff they are not able to do. And sometimes you find that service providers do not even know, maybe this is bigger than the city. The budget that the city allocates is not great. But also, as you talk about, we talk about women and children, and we never talked about the elderly as a segment. And this also is a concern. Let me use an example that many of the young people that we do know, the elderly, the Gogos and the Mkhulus that we're dealing with at the moment, they looked after their children, they looked after their grandchildren, and they are looking after their great-grandchildren.
Yeah.
And some of them are looking, using the pension that they do have, which is very little in pittance. Mm. Now it's December. Now the kids are going to come and the grandkids are going to come. I want turkeys. I want this brand. Mm. I want that brand. And can an elderly person be able to buy out of a 2,000? They need to be able to think about Christmas. They need to think about groceries. They need to think about school fees. They need to think about stationery that's going to come. So these are the issues that are important that they need to be able to think about.
Yeah.
But also there's a segment that we talk about. Normally we talk about women and children, but if you look at today, there are approximately 72 or 81 people will be killed today in South Africa.
Okay.
And 9 of them are going to be women. 2 are going to be boys. 1 is going to be a girl. And they're going to be about 69 are going to be men. And then no one talks about this population.
Mm.
And mainly, and the burden that's going to be happen is that the burden of the people that are going to be touched are the elderly that are going to be bearing the younger people that are dying in these cases, and they're left to look after the orphans.
Sure. It's quite a staggering statistic there that you gave, Dr. Sbanda. But I must say again, like you're saying, the elderly have become forgotten. Yet they are quite a backbone of the society. Just as you're speaking about how some of these grandparents now have to look after the great-grandchildren, I cannot help to think to myself, guys, when does it stop? When does it really stop? And so organizations such as yours offer support to these Gogos and Mkhulus. Let's talk about, you spoke of Adopt a Gogo and Mkhulu. Maybe if you can just enlighten us on this particular initiative, what does it focus on exactly? Because I feel like we adopt children every day, take care of them, but who adopts a Gogo really and a Mkhulu? And what does it look like? What does it mean? Can I, as a regular citizen, adopt a Gogo and a Mkhulu? Because I've heard the Men's Forum does, but can I generally, as a citizen, say, hey, I want to adopt a Gogo and a Mkhulu?
Yes, you can be able to adopt. I think, let me start from here and say, who can adopt? It could be any citizen that is 18 years and over with no criminal record, people that are respected in their communities, those that are living near their Gogo and Mkhulu. And South Africans that cares about the dignity of the elderly. If you care about the dignity of the elderly, it could be looking about food, about space, there's others. You don't necessarily have to take them to your home, but you can visit them, check on them, see that they're looked after. This is kind of one of the most horrible seasons, because many of the elderly that spend a lot of our time with our children and grandchildren, and then we come December, we've been working all along, we take our kids, we go on holiday, and then they're left alone and very lonely. And this is, if you look at statistics, particularly elderly that commit suicide, this is one of the most horrible times, because they are now alone and lonely and left alone. And these are some of the challenges that they do face. So how then, what are some of the things that we do? Why do we adopt Gogos and Mkhulu? We need to protect and care for the vulnerable elderly persons. We provide emotional, social, and spiritual support. We restore dignity and prevent abuse. We reunite elders with families and communities. In this coming new year, there's a program that we're rolling nationally, particularly, which is very dear for us in Gauteng, what we call intergenerational. How then do we pass wisdom? You know, in wisdom, they simply say, when an elder person dies, a library bends down, because the information, the knowledge, the stuff that they had carried over years and are passing from generation to generation is forgotten. We cannot learn from ChatGPT. We cannot learn from Facebook and Google, but we can be able to learn stories and information from our grandparents, from how we ought to live, our culture. Because I remember today I posted on Facebook that a quote from Sam Nujoma, the president of Namibia, who said, any nation that doesn't have a culture is a nation that is dead. Mm. So how then do we preserve culture? We preserve culture by telling stories and narrating those things from generation to generation. So age in action plays a part. When we ask the elderly people to be able to take part, ask the communities to support, this is what we're driving for.
Sure. You're actually reminding me, my gran passed on close to 4 years ago, 3.5 years ago, at the age of 98. And I'm recalling how every now and again, even my dad would go to my gran if he needed knowledge on something, you know, that they didn't really understand. Because she seemed to know everything. You know, she really was a well of wisdom. And I really, really do believe that we've got to, when we get a chance, adopt a gogo and mkhulu. And I think you can agree with me on this. You don't need to attach monetary value to everything. You know, it saddens me when I watch young children, you know, who've perhaps lost their parents, taking care of their grannies, when there's abaluko or older people who can just go past and make sure Gogo's taken care of and go to work if she needs to. But you'll find a 12-year-old having to help Gogo bath in the morning before she goes to school. And it's sad because they then lag behind even in their academics. Whereas we're here, we're adults. Even if it means I've got enough resources to pay somebody to look after Gogo or mkhulu, you know. But if we can come together as a society, not just raise children as a society, but take care of our elderly as well.
I think this is a very critical point that you've raised. I think one of the issues that for many of us, I think us as black cultures, we need to be able to really learn. Mm. Many of the elderly are living in derelict conditions when we're living well. Many of us are well-to-do. Many of us have resources, have monies, have holiday homes, have everything else. But the elderly that are sitting in homes that put everything else, put us on our backs to take us to school, that sheltered us, are left alone. Yeah. I work in communities. I'm a pastor as well. A pastor in Pretoria. I've pastored in Joburg. I just moved to Pretoria. In our communities, we see people that come and say, "Pastor, could you help me?" And we deal with a lot of social issues, elderly that are being abused, and many of the stuff that we deal with. But what we need to be able to encourage young people, what we need to be able to encourage, particularly people of our age and younger people, think about the elderly, think about your mom, think about your dad, think about how they could be able to, how we could we could make their last days to become very well. I think somebody else was talking about that we must give them their flowers while they're still alive.
Exactly.
Many of us take flowers, maybe I think after Easter, to the graves. At people that died of hunger that we never even sent any parcel of food when we were throwing food away into the dustbins. I think it's unfair. We will need to be able to encourage people and simply say there is grace, we can do more. Can we as a society be able to adopt our own gogos and mkhulus, even those that live about, because it's not only about blood, but it's people that we live within our communities. There should never be any person in our communities, in our street, that lacks when we are well-to-do and we've got connections that we can take them to people that can help them.
Sure. Talk about ministry in action as well while at it, hey? We never have to, especially, and I think this is a call for us, especially as a body of Christ, to say we can't just sit back and enjoy life without sharing with those around us. It is truly scriptural if you think about it. Now, I really just want to ask this, Baba, before I let you go this afternoon. Now I have decided to adopt a gogo mkhulu. Here's a season, for instance. What can we do, even if I haven't adopted a gogo mkhulu? What is it that we can do as a society to make, this is a Christmas season, by the way, just to make sure that they're taken care of? Also, do you guys have any initiatives that you've planned for this season?
We have not planned specific events for this season. But what we have done, I think, over the past 25 days when we're dealing with 16 days of activism, we said we've gone to radio stations, we've gone to places, we've gone on social media, we've gone online to be able to remind people, simply say, guys, can we stand up and be able to do something? But also what we simply say, this is not an there are many organizations in this space that are doing a lot of good work, a lot of great work that we say, some of them come to us as sister organization to be able to support them. We do with what we're able to do. We take them resources, we take stuff. But I think what could be done at the moment, I'm encouraging people that are listening, think about how you could be able to buy groceries, buy small stuff for Christmas, go and take it to people, go and support people in your church. If you're a church, your resources that you do have, take it to the community, buy them food, make them lunch, let them come and have a Christmas lunch. There are people that are going to be alone. Some people on Christmas, they're going to just wake up in the morning, they're going to be in taverns and other places, and elderly people will not have food.
Yeah.
Please make sure that there's no elderly person near you that won't be able to have food. Please make sure that there's no elderly person with no clothes when you could be able to have many clothes in your wardrobes.
Yeah.
Or your kids have got clothes, but the neighbor has got grandkids that are looking after, and they have no kids, they have no uniform, there's no stationery. Think about those things, make their lives easier.
Love to hear that. Just if you saw the smile on my face earlier, talking about churches having an impact. Just last week, my sister told me I got a gift from her church. I was like, what? And I love it when churches are able to be so impactful. And I got home to a box. I was in the Eastern Cape. When I traveled in, I found a box nicely wrapped. And I opened, curious, what's in these boxes? A gift from her church. And it was little nice food parcels. And this is what they were doing for the entire church and the community. She's in Krugersdorp in a place called Leopard's Flay. And so they were giving to the community and some church members, obviously, because they don't want to ask, do you need, do you need? And they started giving. That was so beautiful for me because the package was also packed in such a way that you're not going to go hungry this Christmas. Even if there's a lot of things that you're going to need, but at least they made sure there was mealy meal, there was rice, there was beans, there was every like essential things that we have during the season. And I think we can practice that. Instead of thinking, I can just buy, maybe shoes are in need, yes. But how about when we share these meals in our families, we remember those who are elderly in our communities that perhaps even need to support their families as well. Dr. Zwane, anything else you'd like to add before I say goodbye to you?
I want to say thank you so much for giving us the opportunity. I'm excited to be at Radio Pulpit today. But I think maybe lastly we just talked about how churches can be able to give. I think there's opportunities. I had a lovely brother that came to me last week. And they say, Pastor, please come and take, we've got clothes that have been donated.
Wow.
I took 12 bags of clothes.
What?
12 bags of clothes. I put them on a car twice. It could fill a bucky. And one of the joys is that tomorrow we're going to go and distribute those clothes in Winterfeld in Checkers. It's people that realize that there is a need in communities, and then they do that. Let me talk about food and persons, guys. I think even the clothes that we do give, it's not stuff that we are throwing away, which you can never use. I'm asking, when you deal with the elderly or the indigent, please treat them with dignity.
Yeah.
All I'm asking is to simply the same way that we've got, treat them with dignity. Give them food that is not rotten, food that is not going to be thrown away, food that is not expired.
Yep.
Take them, go to a place and buy them. I remember today somebody asked and said, please give money. I said, I'm not going to give money to children. We went to a spa and bought them a meal. I said, please go and eat. So these are the issues that we need to do. Let's do as much as we can.
Yes.
And thank you so much for the support. Thank you so much for the listeners. We will really, really love to be able to. Thank you for giving us this opportunity as Edge in Action. We really, really appreciate.
Yeah, she just spoke to me. This is my goodbye to Dr. Zwane, but I'm really moved. Recently, I said to my brother, we had bread that had just expired. And he's like, no, you can give it to us. I said, no, but you don't give food that's expired to people. Mm-hmm. That's food poisoning, actually.
Yes.
And I think you can see when you're not going to finish something.
Man.
You can see when the bread is too much for you.
Yes.
You can see when the food is in excess. Give it to those who need it while it's still fresh, actually.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Subanda, and have a lovely afternoon further.
Thank you, Lunko. Thank you so much for giving us this opportunity. Thank you. We appreciate it.
Let Christ inspire your day. Radio Pulpit 657 AM, bringing the Word of God to you.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Pray, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
From your ear to your heart, to your mouth, to your feet. Join this life on 657 AM.
You and 657 AM and life. A winning team on the road to eternity.